Thank you all for coming out. And tonight we're going to have a chance to have a round robin of the three of us, Rav Neuberger, I. Weinberger, myself. And I'm grateful to them for letting me speak first. I'm actually going to be on my way from here to a wedding, so which means that you will all have an opportunity that I will not. And that is the chance. I'm going to miss the chance to hear what Rav Neuberger has to say and what Rav Weinberger has to say. I hope you will take good notes. I hope you'll be willing to share them with me afterwards. Someone who begins to study the most fundamental text of Torah Shebichtav, Sav, begin to learn Chumash. Typically, you begin Pasuk by Pasuk, introduce Rashi, and the Pasuk and Rashi, and the Pasuk and Rashi, and then as a Jew progresses, sometimes you get lucky and you add the Ramban. And the Ramban opens our eyes to many new dimensions of Chumash. And one of them is, he opens our eyes to sort of the macro perspective. And he opens our eyes to looking, to learning Chumash on the Pasuk by Pasuk level, but also zooming out, trying to figure out what does the Chumash have to tell us? What's this Parsha about? What's this series of Prakim about? Sometimes even, what's this Sefer as a whole about? And that's really one of the simanim, one of the indicators of the Ramban's macro perspective, is the fact that he spent a lot of time thinking about the Svarim as a whole. And he wrote for each Sefer an introduction in which he thinks about what's Chumash Mos about, what's Chumash Vayikra about. And he's consistent throughout, as he works his way through Chumash Dvarim, he will consistently look back to the overall perspective of Dvarim and figure out how does this parasha relate to the bigger picture. So if I have the opportunity to speak first, so then by way of introduction, I'd like to learn by way of introduction. And I'd like to open up by looking at another one of the great Hakdama writers of Klal Yisrael, another one of the great introduction writers. He's famous for his introductions to his Svarim of Chumash. He's famous for his introduction to many, many of his Svarim. And the Netziv was a man who was a remarkably rich, varied, multidimensional Talmud Chacham. Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva in the latter half of the 1800s. He was known for his classical Bekiyas and Lamdas. He was known for his extraordinary command of all sorts of obscure Svarim, Yadav Ravlo Bahalacha, and an incredibly creative thinker in the world of Chumash and Tanakh. And a man as well with a poetic soul. And what I'd like to do in the next couple of minutes together is to spend a little time learning some of what the Rambana, what the Netziv has to say in his introduction to his Haggadah. And we'll take a look at some of the major theme that he lays out there, and hopefully we'll see not only the theme as he develops in his introduction, but see as well how he plays that out in one or two places over the course of the Haggadah, Bershus HaRav. And looking for themes is really critical, because many wise advisors in the world of parenting have pointed out that Leil HaSeder in particular, it's of critical importance in preparing for the Seder, and that's what really we're enabled to do by coming together to learn about the Haggadah in advance. Gives us the chance to be more than just line by line. It gives us the chance to zoom out. And it gives us a chance also to think about what are one or two themes that I'd like to develop and thread through different parts of the Haggadah. So over the course of the next couple of minutes, we'll look at the introduction of the Netziv, and we'll see how his idea there plays out in some other critical parts of the Haggadah as well. And over the course of this conversation, hopefully we'll touch on a number of important themes, and perhaps you'll find one or two that you'd like to make your own and use as an axis around which you'll build your Haggadah, around which you'll prepare for your Seder over the next week. So the Netziv is really fascinated in his introduction by the duality between nowadays, Seder nowadays and a Seder in the days of Beis HaMikdash. And the Netziv points out that there are, in ways both big and small, we're reminded over the course of the way we practice our Seder about the way the Seder once was. You know, if you open up Rambam has 8 chapters in his halachas of chametz u'matzah. The first 5 are about chametz. The 6th is about the mitzvah of matzah. The 7th is about the other mitzvah d'orais which you practice nowadays at the Seder. The mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Magid and Halal. And then the last chapter, the 8th chapter, he talks about how you put all the pieces together. And the 8th chapter, Rambam actually takes you through the Seder, step by step by step, what it looked like in the way that we're familiar with also. But he really talks about what did the Seder look like with a Karban Pesach? And then what does the Seder look like without a Karban Pesach? And he keeps sort of split-screening, shifting back and forth what it was and what it is, and what it was and what it is. And then the Tziv points out that this awareness of what the Seder was with a Karban Pesach is something that's threaded through a number of the subtle details. He talks about, perhaps the most famous, he talks about the sensitivity to timing over the course of the Seder, and the desire to common practice to be concerned with trying to eat afikoman before chatzos. So that's famously reminds us of the opening mishnah in Shas and the concern about trying to finish a Karban Pesach ideally before chatzos as well. You don't want to overshoot too radically. You wouldn't want to fall asleep or end up eating the Karban Pesach after beginning to get light. So Chazal backed up and said, by Chatzos, you have to be done with your Karban Pesach. And so we remember that. Karban Pesach we don't have, but many Rishonim understand that it's that last piece of matzah, that afikoman, is sort of almost a placeholder to remind us that there's supposed to be a Karban Pesach there at the end of the meal before we bench. So that afikoman takes on some of the qualities. It's obviously not fleshik, so it's just a piece of matzah. It's not a piece of meat. It's not a karban. It's not hektish. But we treat it in certain ways with some of that same care and some of that same concern, some of the same sensitivity to the timing concerns that were so heightened when you're dealing with the carbon. But then he points to other things also. He points to Netil Sedayim, the Taz already wonders. Gemara Shulchan Aruch talk about the possibility of a Jew all year long washing hands before eating the food which is wet, but vast majority of Orthodox Jews, Taz points out, don't practice that concern throughout the year, but somehow on Leil HaSeder that's persistent. So why Urchaz? Why we wash our hands before the Karpas? So the Netziv suggests it makes good sense because it reminds us of the sensitivity, heightened sensitivity to Tumat Tahara that would mark a meal where there was a carbon being served. As a matter of fact, that concern with Tumat Tahara, I believe in the Beis Brisk, they have this idea that maybe part of what's going on when you hide the afikoman is also to remember if we had a Karban Pesach, so we wouldn't just leave it out in the open where anyone could touch it. It would perhaps be roasted on the spit, or it would be put away in a safe spot, but it would be kept secure from Tumo. So as soon as we prepare an afikoman, We keep it secure from Tumah. I think the more common practice is Afikoman is, that part of Afikoman has little to do with keeping it secure, and a lot more to do with keeping children awake and engaged in the Haggadah. But then the Netziv points to 2 other features of the Seder, and he closes his introduction by saying, look at this. Look at the kittel that we wear, and look at the strange way, not only the strange way that we dress, but the strange way in which we say halal. What's with the kitzel? So some of the classical mefarshim suggest that it's reminiscent of Tisha B'Av, reminiscent of almost a morbid remembrance to put a damper on the simcha. It says he thinks it's not about sadness, but it is about awareness. It's not about avelus, but it's about yirashamayim. He says you're eating a karban, according to Rashi and Rambam. Eat your Karban Pesach, you're eating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table. Mishulchan Gavoa Kazacho. Try to imagine what that would be like to eat a Karban Pesach. Try to imagine the heightened sense of Yerushalayim, the heightened sense of presence. Almost like, they said, in the Tzivra, in the introduction, almost like Davening Shemoneh Esrei. Can you imagine Davening Shemoneh Esrei? But eating a meal, eating meat, was like a Shemoneh Esrei type experience. So it says, you put in a kittel. You read about the descriptions of what in the Mishnayos and Yuma and elsewhere, what was elegant clothing during the days of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the kittel, particularly if it's linen, really matches that description. And then finally he says, it's the one time a year that we intentionally take a break in the middle of Halal. Say the first 2 prakim, machlokas B'shaim Beis Hillel, one parak, two parakim, we follow Beis Hillel. But either way, we start the Hallel, everyone agrees to start the Hallel, and then we eat a meal, and then we come back to continue the Hallel. Why? Why? Brisk Rav has his own suggestion, but then Tziv says he thinks it fits into this theme. It's to remind us that this meal fits in the middle of Hallel, because this meal isn't just a meal. This meal is a holy meal. We're doing mitzvahs in this meal. If we were eating Karban Pesach, it wouldn't surprise us that we're eating Karban Pesach in the middle of Hallel. So all these different features suggest in the Tziv, the concern with timing, with the chatzos, and the concern with the tar of our hands, and the kittel, and the eating the meal in the middle of Hallel, all of those he suggests are to keep Karban Pesach on our minds. And sort of it's like lurking in our subconscious to remember that the Karban Pesach ought to be here. And then the Tziv, what he develops in his introduction, as I was saying before, plays out beautifully in several spots over the course of the Haggadah. There's so many parts of the Haggadah that we're so used to that sometimes we're sort of inured to questions and we just sort of take things for granted. But there's one part of Maggid that absolutely doesn't fit any which way. All of Maggid is in Mishnaic Hebrew. All of Maggid is easy to understand. So much of Maggid is timeless. But the opening paragraph, Holach ma'anya da'chalu avasana, a paragraph in Aramaic, what's it doing? It comes before the Manashtana. The Manashtana ought to be the official opening of the Seder, and we pour the second kos, and now we're ready to begin Maggid, and the Maggid begins Mishnayos tells, asking questions, everything else is a response to the questions. What's Halach Ma'anya doing? What's it there for? And the Tziv points out, he says he thinks Halach Ma'anya is later. Most of our Maggid is very, very ancient. Much of our Maggid is rooted in some of the most ancient Mishnayos that appear in the last parak of Maseches Pesachim. Halach Ma'anya, he says, it's generations later. It's after the Jews were already moving to increasing numbers to Bavel after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, no longer have Karban Pesach. That's why it's written in Aramaic. That's why we say explicitly at the end, Hashat Ha'acha, Lashon HaBava Arad Yisrael, it's clearly written outside of Eretz Yisrael. And he points out the Rambam explicitly when he, in Rambam at the end of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, has the Haggadah, and he writes, when he introduces Halach Ma'anya, he says, this is the way Jews have said Maggid, have said the Haggadah in Galus. So this is a Galus paragraph. So what does it teach us? The Tziv has something, has incredible insight. He says, you know, the opening line is the Pasuk. Halach Ma'anya. I said, this is Lach Ma'anya, that's the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. This is Lechem Oni. Says in the Tziv, the reason why this is a Gullus paragraph is because the Jews in Gullus need to point out that now the Matzah is Lechem Oni. Wait, now the Matzah is Lechem Oni, you say? It's Pasuk in Chumash. The Tziv is something remarkable. The Tziv says, both meanings of Lechem Oni were not really fully in play when the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, in the days of Beis HaMikdash. Lechem Oni, the Gemara tells us, means at least two things. Oni could be, Oni is a funny word. Ayin, Vav, Nun, Yud. Maybe Oni, the Gemara says, means poverty, an Ani. Lechem, it's a poor man's bread. Or maybe Oni is like Aniya. Onin Va'omrim, it's a bread of speech. Either the Gemara says Lechem Oni means Lechem Ani, that has to be impoverished bread, nothing fancy about it, unseasoned, unflavored. Or, Lechem Oni means it's a lechem sha'onim al dvar marbe. It's a bread of conversation. We need to talk about, we only eat the matzah after Maggid because it only fully becomes matzah after we've discussed it. After the matzah has absorbed our words, then we can go ahead and eat. In eating the matzah, we are literally, in the best sense of the term, eating our words. The Tziv says, that's true nowadays. The Tziv points out that the Gemara of Pesachim Dav Chav Ches stresses that pasuk, in Re'eh, for the Lechem Oni, that's the source for the idea that matzah is an independent mitzvah d'oraisa nowadays without Karban Pesach. And the Tziv suggests that in the days of Karban Pesach, everything was different. In the days of Karban Pesach, it wasn't fully Lechem Oni, in either sense. Number one, now is not that this time doesn't allow us to get involved in the detail of this idea, but he points out that in the days of Beis HaMikdash, when the matzah was eaten, is a Tosas in Zvachim, a Tosas in Becharos, points out when the matzah was eaten together with Karm Pesach, that enriched it and made it an aristocratic food. It was seasoned, either like Hillel, it was part of the sandwich, or it was right next to the Karm Pesach. It was enriched bread. It wasn't lechem, it wasn't impoverished bread. And he suggests further that in the days of Beis HaMikdash, if you're sitting around the table with a Karban Pesach, matzah is not the centerpiece, and matzah is not what we talk about. And he points out that we don't really say what Rav Gamliel said. Rav Gamliel Haya Omer, there are two key differences in the way we say Rav Gamliel Haya Omer. It's almost a Mishnah. But if you compare, number one, we add, the Mishnah doesn't say the Pesach that they used to eat in the days of Beis HaMikdash, like we do. They used to eat Pesach. Gamliel was recording what had been said in days of Beis HaMikdash. Pesach al Shema. Sounds like Pesach is a reality. And number two, the Mishnah does not say, we have a long discussion about matzah and the chipazon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out so quickly. And the Mishnah just says, Pesach is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Geula, period. So Nitziv suggests, you know what's going on? In the days of Beis HaMikdash, the Magid was talking about the Karban Pesach. Nowadays, Lechem Oni, the Magid is about talking about matzah. And what that means, also, already a whole new picture. Halach Ma'anya, the Jews went to Galus, now we have to think about Lach Ma'anya. And what do we say? What do we say? What do we say? In the days of Beis HaMikdash, it was all about the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over the houses. That's the focus of the Karban Pesach. Hashem Shapasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Abatev V'Seim Mitzrayim. The way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us so incredibly miraculously. Well, now, what we add to our Rabban Gamliel is the focus of matzah. Ki b'chipazon. It's the fact that we were rushed out. And the fact that Nitziv develops very poetically, nowadays we focus on the stress of galus and the stress of gula. There were time constraints, and the mitzvah were rushing us, and we were rushing out. They were rushing us out because they didn't want things to deteriorate further. We were rushing out in the morning because we didn't want them to change their minds. A different picture. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us either way. But in days of Beis HaMikdash, we tell the story of Karban Pesach. We tell the story, Nitziv says, of Nisim Geluyim. And nowadays, we tell the story of noticing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us even when we're living in B'chipazon. Even when we're living with time constraints, we're living with stress, so we're not sure this is going to work out, that's going to work out. Two different Haggadahs, Nitziv suggests. So, as the Rambam says, in the days of Jewish people, last 2,000 years of Galus, we have begun by saying Halach Ma'anya. We added that to the rest of the Hebrew Haggadah, the Haggadah of the Jews of Karban Pesach. We start with an introduction, the earliest introduction to the Seder, is Halach Ma'anya. This is going to be a different type of thing. And that's what we say. And that's what we say. This year we're here, but next year hopefully will be different. This year we have no Beis HaMikdash, this year we have no Karban Pesach. This year we have a Matzah Seder. This year we talk about Chipazon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us even when life is stressful. Next year, Mitzvah Shem, we'll sit around with the Karban Pesach and talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us in miraculous ways. But let me close with one final note that the Nitziv makes. He says, I have warm memories many years of the course of Siddharim with Shechter. One of the things he would point out is over the course of the telling of the story, going through the psukim, one of the things you see is how many of not only the Hisha Amda, the Yisya Kadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us, Geula over and over again, but you also see how much of the Shibud and how much of the Tzaris and how much of what Klal Yisrael has suffered all are rooted back in the models of Mitzrayim. Vayarei osanu ha-Mitzrim. What he points out, we don't have time to expand on this, but you'll take a look carefully and you'll see that at first it seems like the Medrash isn't adding anything. There's our mitzvah. They were bad to us. And it says that the power says that we're going to do bad things. So what's being added by that Havan is Chachmala? So Shechter mentions every year, what the Medrash is adding is that Vayarei Usanu doesn't mean they were bad to us. It means they said that we were bad. It's a hifil. It's power begins the system of oppression by scapegoating us. He claims that we're disloyal and then proceeds to develop a plan to attack us. So the Netziv says, Al Matzusum Rom Yochluhu, throughout the years of Beis HaMikdash, Karban Pesach throughout the generations we've eaten with the matzah. So as we said before, you eat the Karban Pesach with the matzah itself is flavored with Karban Pesach, the Karban Pesach dominates the matzah, it's not lechem oni in either sense. But he points out, but the pasuk in Parshas Bo, it talks about the Pesach, original Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, it's tzliyesh u'matzah samrom yochlu. It was a Karban Pesach, not al, but Karban Pesach and matzah. And the Tziv suggests, with gorgeous poetry, that it was side by side. He says, the original experience in Mitzrayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu was already setting out all of Jewish history. There'll be years when you're going to be in Geula, there'll be years when we'll be in Golos. There'll be years when you're going to be Karban Pesach focused, there'll be years when you'll be Matzah focused. So in Mitzrayim, they were kept separately. In Mitzrayim was Sliesh, U'matos Amron. Kadosh Baruch Hu already put into the system, taking care of us in both formats. And again, it's one of the, we come together with our children. So some themes are going to be about, again, looking to see how historical patterns recur, to see how our suffering is already rooted in Mitzrayim, to see how the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us rooted in Mitzrayim, to think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us right now, not just what we look forward to the future. There's a Haggadah of Matzah, but also to understand that as much as the Kadosh Baruch Hu take care of us right now, we look forward to a Geula Shalema to have a Haggadah with Karban Pesach. And I want to close the way I began by Bershus HaRav and Bershus Rav Weinberg to thank you both for letting me go first, because I'm going to be running soon to a wedding. And I close with to all of you, thanking you for coming and hoping that you will enjoy the opportunity that I will not have to hear those two Rabbanim, and that you'll be willing to share your notes with me at some future point.